this morning, if you'll find that scripture right at the beginning of your Bible, chapter 2, and we're going to have a few verses of scripture reading and then a special and jump right into the message today. Chapter 2, verses 4 through 7 will be our text. Chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. All right? If you found that, let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book today. We'll read these responsively. If you join me on the odd verses 5 and 7, I'll read 2 and 6 for us, and we'll enjoy the scripture reading that way. Have prayer and enjoy the song. Our Bible says in verse 4, "These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Dear Father, thank you for this passage. It is incredibly important. It teaches us so much about ourselves, about us, about mankind. Help me this morning, please, in light of our conference that begins next Sunday, in light of our mission to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world, may we, Lord, be helped, be motivated, understand it even more so because of the message today. Speak to our hearts. Bless the song. May it prepare us for hearing your word. We'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated.
I knelt down upon my knees in prayer. Was the moment the beggar became a rightful heir. He came to live within this heart of mine, and he filled me with glory divine. And it happened that very moment he saved my soul. He saved my soul. My name is recorded. Book of life in heaven.
My sins are washed away
by the blood of Calvary. Since the day that the blood was applied,
forever I'll
stand justified. And it happened that very moment he saved my soul. He saved my soul. Get over that grace so rich and free. And the more that I live, the more it amazes me. How that just in one moment of time,
all the joys of heaven
then became mine. And it happened that very moment he saved my soul. He saved my soul.
My name is recorded.
Book of life in heaven.
My sins are washed away
by the blood of Calvary. Since the day that the blood was applied,
forever I'll
stand justified. And it happened that very moment he saved my soul. He saved my soul.
Since the day that the blood was applied, forever I'll
stand. Justified, and it happened that very moment he saved my soul.
He saved my soul.
Amen. People, that was a blessing. All right. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. What an important verse for us. What an important verse for a number of reasons. Let me speak to you this morning on the subject, man, a living soul. A living soul. Dear Father, thank you. The moment that we were justified, our sins were forgiven. Our names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. A mansion began to be prepared for us in glory. We're coming to live with you someday. Thank you for salvation. All found in that message, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Lord, I pray that you'll just put all this together today with the song we just heard and The missions conference just a few days away, this important, important verse in our Bible and the subject on which we will speak today. May our hearts be ready to receive it. May your power rest upon speaker and listener. May there be a liberty in this building that only you can give. I trust your spirit and your word to do the work that you would like to see done in our hearts today. Help me, I pray, and help us all as we listen. In Jesus' name, amen. There's absolutely, positively no doubt or question in my mind, and I'm sure in yours, that God created the heavens and the earth and all things therein. His creation was not chaotic. The Bible says it was good. We're not evolutionists, period. We're not theistic evolutionists, believing that there was this unorganized, chaotic mass, and from it, all things good evolved. Our God didn't create a chaotic mess. The Bible describes His creation work as good. Every day, the evening and morning were the first day, and God saw that it was good. Second day, God saw that it was good. Third day, God saw that it was good. Fourth day, God saw that it was good. Five, God saw that it was good. Six, God saw that it was good. He looked at all of it and He said, it's very good. It's complete. It's perfect. Wonderful. That's how God created it. Now, God saved the best for last on day six. He created the beast of the earth, the cattle. And then later on that day, He created man. The Bible says that He scooped up the dust of the ground and of course, later on, He would create, I believe, His crowning act of creation. Woman taking the rib of Adam and forming woman from that rib. That just the crown. That's how I feel, ladies. I feel like you are the crown of God's creation. I think that's one reason why you ought to act like a lady. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being feminine. In this day of bashing everything feminine, I think God likes feminine. Not feminism, but being feminine. Ladylike. A female. The crowning act of creation. Soft. I like that. I like that. God's crowning act of creation. Here it is in verse number 7. A descriptive account of man's creation on the day that God created Adam. He took the dust of the ground. That's all we are. Dust. That's why we return to dust. That's what we are. He took the dust of the ground and He formed a body. Here it is. Can you see it? Now, this is how I think this must have happened. None of us were there, and there's really no more to read about it than what we just read. But here you have a body. A body full and complete. No life. Life. Eyes that cannot see, ears already formed in their place, but they cannot hear. And really, there's no reason to see or hear because there's no mind to comprehend what would come in the eye gate or the ear gate. Just a body. Feet that could work but don't. No mechanism to choose which direction to go. Hands that could move and work and be productive, but they lay idle by the side of this body. There's no will to move them. A mouth that could speak but doesn't. It stays silent because there's nothing to communicate. There's nothing on the inside. There's no emotion. There's no feeling. There's no belief. There's no interest in that body, a body. Made out of the dust of the ground. And then, the Bible says, God. The eternal God, the ever-living God, breathes into that body, the nostrils of that body, the breath of life, and man snaps to life a living soul. That's how I see it happen. From Adam would come Eve. And from their union would come the family of Adam. Mankind, until here we sit this morning, February the 4th, 2007, how many persons have been conceived? how many persons total have populated the earth over these 6,000 years? No, I didn't say that incorrectly. You heard me right. 6,000 years. The earth is not millions and millions of years old and billions of years ago. That's a bunch of baloney. The earth is 6,000 years old. You can date it that way. Any honest scientist will tell you that. You can date it by a number of ways. For over these 6,000 years plus now, how many people total have populated the earth? All total. Add to that the number of add to that number the lives of those who've never seen the light of day, taken from the womb, from this world, in the womb of their mother, either through miscarriage or the horrible act of abortion. How many? Who could ever know, humanly, who could ever know that number multiplied millions and billions of people? Each and every one possessed something that God called the breath of life, which made them a living soul. Boy, that statement is so vital. If you like to mark your Bible, circle that verse. Circle that phrase. Man became a living soul. So vital, so important, so incredibly important. Man became a living soul. You see, the life that man became that day when God breathed into his nostrils was not a life with an expiration date. It might have an expiration date as far as living on this earth goes. But that life that Adam became that day and was given that day has no expiration date. The life that man became, that Adam became, was eternal because the life he received was from God, the living God. And not just the living God, but the eternal living God. Living in eternity past. Living in the present. Living throughout eternity future. Friend, God had no beginning. Genesis 1:1 does not say, in the beginning, God. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created. Genesis 1:1 is not the origin of God. Genesis 1:1 is the origin of time as we know it. God was already in existence for eons of eternity past before Genesis 1:1. You say, my mind can't comprehend that. Good. If you could wrap your mind around how big God is, if I could wrap my mind around how God is eternal in eternity past. God never began. He's always been. If I could wrap my mind around that, if you could wrap your mind around that, God would be a very small God. Thank God that you can't comprehend it, but you can believe it. You can believe it. Eternity past, God was in existence. There never has been a time, if you will, when God wasn't. He is. He's already in our tomorrows. It's panoramic. It's unbelievable. He stretches from past to future, eternity in both directions, and He's always there. Everywhere. That's God. God is life. Eternal life. Life that never expires. Life that lives and 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 goes on throughout all eternity. And when God breathed into man's body, Adam's body, the breath of life, that's the kind of life that Adam received in his soul. The soul of man is eternal. Adam became a soul that lives on and on and on and on and on. And while we speak and enjoy this service this morning, Adam lives and will live. That's incredible when you stop and think about it. The man who was living 6,000 years ago is still living. A woman who was living 6,000 years ago is still living. And every character you read about in the Bible, every person we don't read about in the Bible is still living. Their life goes on and on and on and on and on all down through time. Every one of those people that we can't number through these 6,000 plus years, they all live.
They don't live here on earth, many of them, but they live and they will continue to live. And so will you and I. For right now we're living on earth. There will come a time when we will not live on this earth, but we will live, friend. We'll live and live and live and live and live and live, and there will be no end to our living. Why? Because we are eternal beings. I know you know that. I know you believe that, but stop and think about it this morning for a little bit. Every person who's ever been conceived is living today. Think about it. Because every person conceives gets that soul, that eternal soul, the breath of life that came from God Himself, breathed into the first man, Adam, which made him a living soul. And that was passed down through 6,000 years. People live. This is an incredible statement. And because of this statement, this truth, this morning, I want to bring to you three thoughts about mankind. Number one, I want to talk about the uniqueness of mankind. The fact that man is a living soul makes him unique over all other God's creation. There's something different about man and the fowls of the air. There's something different about man and the creatures of the sea. There's something different about man. When I'm using man, I'm talking about male and female. I'm talking about mankind. There's something different about man and the beasts of the earth. Man is distinctly different. He is unique. You see, they all derived their life from other sources. Oh, God, but look what He said in verse number 20, chapter 1, verse number 20. Look what He said about the living creatures in the water. Look at that. And God said in chapter 1, verse 20, the book of Genesis, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heavens." Look at verse number 24. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth life." Bring forth the living creature, after His kind. Cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after His kind. And it was so. The waters brought forth life. And the earth brought forth life. Now, I'm not sure I comprehend that all completely. I know God created all those beings. But the Bible says in verse 20 of chapter 1 and 24 of chapter 1 that the water brought forth the life of the water creatures. And the earth brought forth the life of the earthbound creatures. But not man. When it comes to man, man received his life not from the earth. Man received his life not from the water. Man received his life specifically from God. The living God who made man in His image. And that's why I say, friend, this morning, there is something unique about people from all other of God's creation. And that's our eternal soul. Now, I know and understand how much some of you love your pets. You love your animals. God bless them all. We got out of the pet and animal stage years ago. We tried it. Rabbits, dogs, chickens. We tried it. And I got out of the pet stage, and I don't plan on getting back in. Amen. I've told no so many times to that question. No, we're not going to get an animal. I don't have time to take care. I love animals. I love wildlife, but just not that I have to take care of. Amen. And I know some of you do. And I know some of you have a very sincere belief about how smart your pets are. And how wise they are. And how they have a mind. And they know how to think. And go on believing that and enjoy yourself. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, animals were given an instinct at creation. And sometimes people mistake that instinct for a mind. Sometimes they mistake that instinct maybe for a personality. I worry about when your cat starts talking to you and more so when you start talking back, amen. And instead of telling the kitty to go outside and use the bathroom, you're carrying on a conversation with the cat, amen. And I worry about people like that. But animals do have a keen, very a distinct instinct that sometimes, I guess, could be mistaken for a mind. You know, the animals possess very sharp senses. And what they lack in one sense, they make up for in another sense. Right? And I love the deer of the woods. And man, the deer's sense of smell, it's incredible. It's incredible. And that sense of smell, almost you almost think that thing's got a mind to think. It's not a mind, it's instinct. It's an incredible sense of smell that warns them. Their hearing, their eyesight. Same thing with a bear. Unbelievably, those bear, as big as they are in that mossy country, so quiet in their sense of smell. You can take a dozen donuts out in the woods, and before long, they come from everywhere. Their smell, they say they smell them from miles away. They don't have very good eyesight, but they have good hearing. And you think about the turkey that has the globe of an eye positioned on each side of his head, which gives him almost 360-degree vision. And just the slight movement of your hand, the turkey's gone. They have incredible senses. And they can be programmed to respond to those senses. I think about those African plains animals like the antelope and the impala and all those over there in Africa. They say that there are incredibly sensitive animals in the area of sight and smell, oftentimes hearing. But friend, you understand, all of that is physical. It is the senses. It is instinct, and God made them that way. And yes, man, we have our senses. We have sight and hearing and taste and touch, and we have a feel of smelling. We have our senses, but we have something more than physical sense. We have something more, if you will, than instinct. We have an eternal soul. We have a mind to think. We have a heart to feel. We have a will to choose and the breath of life, eternal life. That makes us unique from all else of all other God's creation. We're unique. It's an incredible verse. You do not read where God breathed into the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, or the beast of the field, the breath of life. But you read that about mankind. Do your word study on it. If you like to do things like that. Breathe. Exhale in the man. Himself. The essence of himself. Eternal life. A living soul. Man is unique from all other of God's creation. And it is his living soul that gives him his uniqueness. I love the animal kingdom, and I think there'll be animals in heaven. And maybe you're hoping your pet will join you there. Amen. I'm sure some of you have had pets that you knew went to the other place too. No doubt. Amen. Let's move on there. Amen. But you're a unique creation this morning because you're a living soul. The uniqueness of mankind. That brings me to a second thought this morning. The commonness of mankind. Take a look around the room this morning. Maybe not right now, but sometimes. Look how different we are. Physically, we're different. I don't mean the men and women physically different from themselves. I mean physically. Some are tall. Some are short. Some are small bones. Some are big bones. Some are hefty. Some are petite. Some have brown hair. Some have black hair. Some have red hair. And some have gray hair. And some have no hair. Mentally, we're different. Our feet are all sizes and all widths. Mentally, we're different. Some have a very sharp IQ. Others work just as hard, but it just doesn't come as easy. It's just not that IQ. It's not mentally. Emotionally, we're different. Some wear their emotions near the surface. Others bury them deep within themselves. The personalities, the preferences, the stamina, the metabolism, the physical genetics, the motivations, the likes, the dislikes, the interests, on and on we could go about the differences in this room. Just in this room. Let's move outside this room. Take the state of Illinois. Take those living in Chicago and contrast those with those living down in Metropolis or Cairo on the very southern border of our long state. And the people who live within the inner city of Chicago are completely different than the folks who live down in Cairo or Metropolis. So let's leave the state of Illinois and let's go to the regions of our country. The Southeast is different from the South. There's a difference in the South and the Southeast. There's a difference in the Southeast and the South and the Southwest. And there's a difference in those in the Southwest and those in the Midwest. And there's a difference in us and those on the eastern seaboard and those in the northeastern part of the country and those out in the northwestern part of our country. There's a difference in those in Northern California and those in Southern California. Across our borders. The differences become more apparent, don't they? We're different from the Canadians. We're different from the Mexicans. I didn't say better. I said we're different. They're different from us. We're different from them. Go to the Western Hemisphere. Those that live on the North American continent in many ways are so different than those that live on the South American continent. Go across the oceans and go to the other hemisphere over there in the old Europe and Asia and go to the Oriental nations and the islands of the sea. And everywhere you go, the further you go from here, man's differences become more and more apparent. We are so fundamentally different, so diverse, and yet One thing. And you can't name me anything else. We have black eyes. We have blue eyes. We have green eyes. We have brown eyes. We have all kinds of color skin almost. Bushy eyebrows. Narrow eyebrows. And one thing. Our languages are different. But one thing bonds all mankind together. One thing is common to every one of us. It's our living soul. Our souls live. That part of me is as common is the same as the man, the pygmy who lives in the jungles of Africa. We may be so fundamentally different in all other areas, but he and I both possess a living soul. It makes us common with our people around the world. It makes us common with all those who've lived before us. It makes us common with all those who will live beyond our time on this earth. Even things that are similar about us. We all have a finger. That finger has a print. But that's as far as the similarities go. Because beyond that point, there are no two fingerprints alike. It's amazing, isn't it? Think about that. Yet I have one thing common. The man in Thailand. I have one thing common with the man in India. I have one thing common with the man in Jamaica. I have one thing common. I'm not sure which I think. Maybe that's the Jamaican flag. That's the Indian. I have one thing common with the man in Australia. I have one thing common with those people in Madagascar. I have one thing common with those people in the Bahamas. I'm a living soul and so are they. And our life goes on and on and on forever and ever and ever. And that is what makes us common. The common. You have the uniqueness of mankind. You have the commonness of mankind. Let me say number three. The fact that man is a living soul proves his value. The value of mankind because it is eternal. His soul is eternal. Mankind is valuable. Friend, those possessions that we think are so wonderful and that we would even define or describe as valuable, how many of those things will we take with us? I'm not against them. Houses, vehicles, clothes, jewelry, coins, stamps, heirlooms. I'm not against those things. Recreational things and toys and hobbies. I'm not against any of those things, pets. But how many of those will we take with us? They will all terminate someday. That which is valuable about valuable about us is that soul that lives forever. Jesus said it this way in Mark 8:36, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Proving that man's soul is his most valuable possession. It's his soul that makes him valuable, his eternal soul. Listen very carefully. Mankind will live eternally, either in a state of everlasting life or everlasting death. Those billions of people who've lived before us, they still live. And they're alive today in a state of eternal life, everlasting life, or a state of everlasting death. Those who died in the Old Testament days and went to hell still live in hell. Those people we would call wicked, the Hitlers, the Mussolinis, John Wayne Gacy's, remember him? Died and left this earth without Christ. Died, they live. They live. They live in an everlasting state of death. Constant dying. Constant burning. Those that had trusted Christ. Those dear saints of God. Those that were burned at the stake in the days of the Reformation. Those little children who never lived to be 20 years of age, but they had come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Died? No, they live. And they live in a state of everlasting life, where everything is wonderful and glorious, and Jesus and the saints and singing and all people, all souls live. Do you understand that this morning? Every person under the sound of my voice will live eternally, either everlasting life or everlasting death. That's what makes this verse so incredibly important. That's why Faith Baptist Church has what we call a soul-winning ministry, where we encourage the members of this church to not just go soul-winning, but be a soul-winner. Carry a gospel tract. Knock on somebody's door. Talk to a coworker. Talk to a relative. Talk to your neighbor. Talk to a friend. Send them the revival fires. Do what you have to do to get the gospel to them. Friend, listen, they are a living soul. They're going to live somewhere forever. And ever and ever and ever. That's why we have a bus ministry. If there were any other reason than that, I am not sure, friend, that we would encourage and motivate and beg you to go knock on doors and talk to your neighbors and take a bus and go out and try to round up boys and girls and teenagers and bring them to church. But I'm not sure we would do that for any other reason, but we can't get around the fact that the people in this community are going to live somewhere forever. On and on and on and on and on and on and on, because they're living souls. You may not like them. Their personality may clash with yours. Their interests may be completely different. But that doesn't change the fact that they live, and they will live and live and live. That's why we have a bus ministry. That's why it feels strange for some of us this morning not to have those that ride the buses here. That's why it feels strange for some of these people not to have a class or be in a place right now, because the buses didn't run this morning. I'll tell you why you run the buses. It's called living souls, folks. Living souls. That's why we have gospel tracts available for you to hand out. That's why we have the missions program. That's why we have these conferences every year. That's why we have a missionary a month. at least one. That's why we have missionaries in all the countries represented by these flags this morning, and some whose flags we do not have. And that's why we need to come again to this time of the year and focus our attention on it, and think about it, and be reminded of the importance of getting the gospel to the world. The world is not made up of mountains and valleys and creeks and oceans. Those things are all secondary. The world is possessed by living souls that are going to live somewhere for eternity. That's the difference. That's what we have a missions program. That's why every week when the plates were passed this morning, people in this church put a check in there that a portion of that check was for missionaries so that we could send them with the gospel of Jesus Christ through our church ministry to the world, to living souls. It's hard to comprehend. Eternity. Eternity. Everything relative to me in this life, I think of in terms of time. It's time to do this, and it's time to do that, and it's time to be here, and it's time to go here. And this much time, and I have these many years, and these many months, and this school year. It all is relative. It's all relative to time, but not eternity. Life goes on and on. How do you describe it? So the man could even start to comprehend it. Little bird started on the eastern seaboard of our country, picked up one little grain of sand in his beak, a grain of sand in his beak, and flew those 93 million miles to the sun and deposited that grain of sand on the sun, and flew 93 million miles back, and then picked up a second grain of sand and made that same journey, and came back, and a third grain of sand, and made that same journey, and over and over and over and over, until he emptied the eastern seaboard, and emptied every little river and creek and tributary, and every little pond, wherever there might be a grain of sand, and worked his way westward across this country to the mighty Mississippi and the banks of the Missouri, and emptied this half of the United States of every grain of sand, flying to the sun and back with one grain of sand, and worked his way west across the United States to the western seaboard, and emptied all the Pacific Ocean coastline with every grain of sand, and did all the islands, and crossed over the Pacific to the southeastern Asian countries, and worked his way all the way back around, taking every grain of sand one at a time in his beak to the sun and back around the world until there was no more sand. We haven't lived through 1 second when he's done of eternity. Not 1 second. Eternity goes on and on and on, way out there. And every person lives in eternal life. Or an eternal death. That's what makes man so incredibly unique. Do you know where you're going to live eternally? Got it settled, you've been saved, you've been born again. Keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And one of these days, you have no guarantee of tonight. You put off a decision that will change your eternal destiny. Why would you do that? Is it a cause worth giving a few dollars a week to? Thailand, I think. But Caleb, do you know that Thailand? That red, white, and blue flag up there. We have no voice in Thailand. His sister's going there. Jamaica, we have no voice in Jamaica. Madagascar, we have no voice there. Bahamas, they're all living souls. Makes them unique. Listen to me. Makes them common to us. Oh, I'm an American, so am I. That Jamaican has something common with me. So does that Malagasy native on the island of Madagascar. He lives forever. That's what makes him valuable. That's what makes him as valuable as me and you in these suits. Cars that take us down the road, comfortable temperatures, houses that keep us warm from 7 degrees below zero, and he sleeps under a palm tree, you and I are no more valuable than him. Because he lives. You with me this morning, church? That's the heart of missions. And it's a living soul. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. Before we close with an invitation time, I just have it on my heart. How many would say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I have no doubt about it. I'm on my way to heaven. Would you raise your hand, please, and be honest about it? Please be honest. Don't lie before God and your friends. Thank you. Take your hands down. I know there are some here this morning unsaved. I know because some with their own mouths will admit I'm not saved. Maybe there are some here who want everybody to believe you're saved, but you're not. You put off making that critical choice of Jesus. You understand the impact of putting off Christ if you die without Him. It's eternity. Pastor Angel, pray for me. I am not saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please, this morning all across the room? I'm not saved. Front to back, side to side. I am not saved. It bothers me. It serves me. Anybody like that here today? Brother Angel, I've been saved but not baptized in deep water in obedience to Christ. I haven't followed the Lord, believer's baptism. It's been on my heart and mind. Pray for me. Anybody like that this morning? Maybe you came this morning for the purpose of being baptized. Would you raise your hand? And that'd be wonderful today. Anybody like that, boy or girl, man or woman, young person? See a small hand. God bless you. Somebody else. If you came to be baptized, you want to follow the Lord, now's the time to come. We'll get things ready in the back. Baptize you according to your faith in Jesus Christ. You can do that while we wait, even right now as you come. If you're here this morning, you've been saved and baptized, and you know this is the church God wants you to be a part of. You've talked with one of us about it. We'd be happy to receive you into fellowship this morning, pending the vote of the church. Now, Christian, let me talk to us for a minute. We just came through a building program. A lot of people are giving very sacrificially right now, both to the building and to the ministry of missions. And I don't want the conference to be just about money. I don't want you to get a dark cloud over your head because you think, oh no, money, it's more than money. It's living souls. We need this. We need this because God might just reach down and tap the heart of one of our young people, or maybe a middle-aged man, to leave their nets and follow Christ to take the gospel to the world, some part of the world. We need it to keep our minds thinking really about what's important in life. We get so wrapped up in the materialism of this country. We are no more valuable than the poorest man in the Bahamas. Because we have the same thing in common with him, a living soul. We've got to keep that in front of us. Building buildings is not the lifeblood of this church. It's the gospel to people. It is our mission. May God help us to look at it seriously. Pray for this conference and ask the Lord to do something. Maybe help you think about a neighbor, a friend, a co-worker, somebody that you put off witnessing to. Pastor, pray for me. The Lord spoke to my heart this morning about something specific in the message, something that was said. Remember me in a closing prayer. Would you raise your hand, please, all over the room this morning? God bless you for that. I appreciate that. Amen. My dear Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word, your ever-living, eternal word. Thank you for what it teaches us about us. Thank you, God, for making mankind so unique, so common, and so valuable by giving us a living soul. Lord, I pray as we enter into this conference that we will see the world as you see it. Not of mountains and valleys and cities and country, but of people. People who will live and live and live and live. May we never forget that truth. Bless these that need to be baptized. Bless any that need to be saved. Lord, may the day not end without them coming to Christ and making that critical decision to be saved. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's stand, please. Ladies, would you play us a song of invitation? The altar is open for you. This morning, as the Lord leads and speaks to your heart, would you come? Man is a living soul. The uniqueness of it, the commonness of it, the value. Mankind's found in his living soul. If you need to be baptized or join the church, whatever the need is, you come this morning. God working in your heart while we pray. Mankind, a living soul.